I think all of you guys know that I don't like writing speeches, so as always, I'll go from the heart on this one. First of all, thank you. And I think every time something like this happens, the first thing the guy says is like, I'm not going to cry. So I'm going to say that. I'm not going to cry. But y'all make it tough. You know, driving in here today, you know, me and Pat Hanlon have been talking about dates for about a month now. And everybody on social media kept hitting me about, what's taking so long? Why isn't retiring a Giant? And it's funny, y'all use the word retirement, but I've been busier now than I have been when I was playing. So I'm not going to use the word retirement. I'm gonna say I'm transitioning. But what a hell of a place to transition from. 2005 started my journey here. I don't see Coach Merritt back there, but he can tell you the story about. Oh, there he is. He can tell you the story about first day of minicamp, and I see my rookies back there, and they're finna go through it too. First day of minicamp. Everybody's smiling, they're happy to be here. You know, you're walking around, you're seeing all the great locker rooms of LT, and you look over in the corner, you got Michael Strahan, and there's this pup from Kelton, Alabama, that they gave number 91, and I'm sitting in my locker, and I'm pissed. And Coach Merritt looks at me, and he's like, somebody die in your family? Or, you know, what's wrong with you? And what I told him, I've held on my, you know, that chip on my shoulder since that day. I told him there was 70-some-odd people drafted before me that shouldn't have been. And I believed it. And to this day, man, I've used that as a crutch. I've used that as a chip. And I'm getting ahead of myself because a lot of times when you write stuff down and you have all this detail about what you want to say, it sounds good. But right now, man, I'm reminiscing about all the times here, good, bad, and ugly and indifferent, that made this place special. God truly blessed me. And we have a saying in you know, around here in football. It says, you know, y'all kicked your coverage. Well, for all of you know about Kelton, Alabama, I hold that in my heart because that's what made me who I am. 271 people in Kelton, Alabama. It's probably more than this, almost more than this auditorium right now, right? 271 people. And to come from there to go to a school like Notre Dame, I outkicked my coverage. From there to get drafted by the New York Giants, I outkicked my coverage. To marry this beautiful woman you see in front of me and have these two little big head boys, I outkicked my coverage. And now to retire a Giant, I've outkicked my coverage. I mean, I couldn't script this day any better. It's typical of, you know, playing football in East Rutherford. It's rainy outside, it's cold, and it's windy. I had some good days in that type of weather. And like I said, today is more about, honestly, it's more about you guys, man. It ain't about Justin Tuck. I'll tell you why. Because without the Merritt family, there is no Justin Tuck. Rest his soul, Wilton Merritt kind of laid the foundation for this organization, that what you see here today. And rumor has it, I had the opportunity to be his last pick. Speaking about outkicking your coverage, it's the reason why that guy's name is on the football, the Duke. To get to work with the Merritt family, the Tisch family, Mr. Reese. I mean, the list goes on and on, from the equipment staff to the doctors, Running Barnes and his crew, Skiba and his crew. There's no Justin Tuck without all these names I mentioned. The Michael Strahans, the Eli Mannings, the O.C. Yemiers, the Jason Pierre Pauls, the Zach Diasis, that entire O-line from 07, which I think is the best O-line to ever play the game, in my opinion, because I got to face them every day. Kareem McKenzie, Snee, Deal, Rich, O'Hara, Everybody's like, what's the hardest old lineman you face? The guys I had to go against in practice. Why y'all think the game was so easy? Why y'all think that D-line was so good that year or those years? Because we had to go against those guys. You wonder why Eli, what's the record, Eli? Eli got about, 180-some games without missing a start? Because he had those monsters in front of him, and I had to play against him every day. I'm thankful, guys. I'm thankful my agent, Doug Henderson, going to bat for me from day one to today. Rebecca Otto, Jen Carr Brown. I'm thankful. And, you know, I could go on and on and on about, you know, how special this place has been for me. I could go on and on and on about what people have done for me in my life to create or make the man that stands before you today. You know, this organization, we talk a lot about football and on-the-field stuff. This organization has really laid the foundation and given me a platform to do so much of the stuff that we do off the field. You know, the Tux Rushville Literacy Platform. That doesn't get off the ground without, you know, all the communication with the community service department here. Mr. Mayor himself being in the forefront. Coach Coughlin, oh my goodness. You know, what could a guy ask for better than that? And I would be remiss if I didn't say thank you, Oakland Raiders. Thank you, Mark Davis and that complete staff out there. But it's good to come home. It's tremendously good to come home. And things haven't changed in my life to the point where you won't see me around. They say retire. Well, I'm not retiring. And I normally wouldn't talk about this here, but the reason why I don't call this a retirement is one of the reasons why I don't call it a retirement is because I've decided to take my talents to a city a little south of here, down 95. Yes, I'm talking about Philadelphia. And if you think for a moment that I'm talking about Philadelphia, that green team, you should be ashamed of yourself. But what I'm talking about is, you know, I just got into Wharton, and I'm going to get my MBA. And without that, man, without the experience I've had here, without the people that I get to look at every day when I was in these halls and in these locker rooms and in these, you know, conference rooms, I don't even have a sense of any of that stuff that I could do. When I got drafted here, man, all I thought about was sacking quarterbacks and being a guy that they could look at and say he did it the right way. That's the only legacy I ever cared about. And to this day, that's the only thing I ever care about. So to see, you know, what some of my former teammates, and I take that word away, my teammates said about me, that's, you know, I could care less about Super Bowl rings. I could care less about, you know, quarterback sacked or any of that stuff. When guys talk to you about your character and talk to you about friendship, when they talk to you about the memories in the locker rooms or on the road trips, that's what I'll remember. To my dying day, that's what I'll remember. And I had the opportunity to do an interview a couple of days ago with Bob Papa, and we had a conversation about looking at the championship banners, and we made like a friendly bet, and they said, I bet you can't name all the players that played on 46 and 42. And I one-upped them. I said, not only can I name them, I can name the college they went to. And I did. And that just lets you know that the bond is strong. And for all you guys that never scrapped it up and got the opportunity to play with guys that start out as a teammate and become brothers, you might not understand what I'm saying here today. You might not understand why I'm filled with gratitude and humbled at the same time that, you know, in a way it's over, but it's not. Just like JPP said, I'll be on sidelines, and he still calls me to this day, along with Zach and Eli and all these guys and Vic. They still call me to this day and in situations ask me how would I do it. And I was like, listen, man, I didn't have a magic key. I was making it up as I was going too, but I had so many great people before me. And I tell you the same thing. You have so many great people before you that walk these halls every day. You know, I'm a guy that always looks at unsung heroes. And y'all remember him because he caught a football on the top of his head. But David Tyree has been a mentor to me in all life, not just on the field. I remember guys like Dave Tollefson. I mean, you couldn't get that guy to say no at anything when it came to helping somebody else out. You know, you'll always remember the greats, but I'll always remember each and every last one of them for what they meant to this team, what they meant to this organization, what they meant to me personally. And before I start crying, I'm gonna hurry up and sit down because it's words don't express how I feel about this organization. And you know, this is not Justin Tuck's day. It's not. I don't want any of you guys writing that to say that. This is just another day in the history of the New York Giants. Another day of the collective effort of everybody in this family taking a young pup from nowhere, Alabama, and making him into the man you see here today. My mom and my dad, they couldn't make it today. My mom don't like flying. But if I was going to tell you guys anything that you can say something about my legacy, it's something that she told me a long time ago. And she told me, there'll never be a time that you'll regret if in the process you give 100%. I think I gave 100%. And that's me looking in the mirror. I think I gave 100%. But I don't have any regrets. I don't. I love you guys, man. To the media, I love you guys. I know a lot of times it didn't sound like that, and then you might not have got that vibe, but, you know, y'all gave me a huge platform as well to get my story out there. I know that's, you know, Pat Hanlon probably likes me saying that. It looks good on his. But, guys, thank you. I can't say that enough. Thank you. Spags, after you told me backstage about it, I wasn't going to say it, but Spags, I'm thankful. You gave me an opportunity to play every position on the defensive side of the ball except one. And every time I see him, I remind him of it. That's a trivia question for you. Everybody talks about the Super Bowl sacks. Did you know that the only position Justin Tuck didn't play on defense was safety? The only one. And for good reason, because when he put me in cornerback, I didn't do it right. I ruined my shot. Coach Coughlin, I know you ain't here today. Thank you. Unfortunately, a lot of the young guys, and I see they probably have to step out now, but a lot of young guys look at coaches and saying, you know, in a way they want them to be their best friend. Coach McAdoo, don't be a player's best friend. The one thing I learned from Coach Coughlin is this: I'm going to push you, and I'm going to push you, and I'm going to push you. And I don't care if you don't like it. But the one thing that he demanded and he definitely got because he deserved it was the respect of his players. And I'm not surprising anybody by saying this. We didn't like Coach Coughlin. But you better not say anything bad about him. Not in my presence. And that goes for all the rest of our coaches. And one of the reasons why I'll never be a coach is because I see these guys when I came in at 5 a.m. and they were already there. And if I had an event and I had to drive past the stadium at, you know, 10 o'clock, you know, Route 3 at 10 o'clock going home, and you look to your left and you see lights on, that was coaches still there. And y'all wonder why we were so prepared. You always talk about talent. Talent ain't got nothing to do with it. And my rookies have left, but I wanted to say this, and I hope they see this when I say this. Those guys that are drafted to the New York Giants, all that means you have an opportunity. Nothing is going to be given to you. Nothing. Me and Jerry Reese don't see the eye to eye to a lot of things, but he don't even know he helped me out a lot. I'll tell you why, and this is why nothing is given to you. When I came in here, I had a Hall of Famer in front of me. I had a young stud in front of me. The next year they drafted a first round pick. The next year they drafted a first round pick. Nothing's ever given to you. You can be the strongest and the meanest and the best ever, but you always got to come in here and you got to fight. And that's for my rookies. I hope they see that. Always come in here and fight. I'm tired of what I've seen from the New York Giants the last 2 years, 3 years, and I was a part of it because maybe I faltered in my way of being a better leader and allowed some things to go on that didn't necessarily have to go on. But I say this, and I'm going to sit down. I am super excited about what's next. I'm super excited what I see from this young group of guys. And I normally don't give shout-outs to rookies, but I'm going to give one because he might be smarter than the education normally lends him to be from Ohio State. But about a couple of days ago, the other Eli called me. And it was funny because I look at the number and I'm like, who is this? And he starts talking about he wanted to learn how to be successful in New York. Eli, you might be on to something. And I will do everything in my power to always be the captain that Mr. Mayor can be proud of, that Jerry Reese and, you know, Steve Tisch and all those guys can be proud of. As I step off this podium today, I'm not leaving. Just exiting. But if you ever need me, and I'm talking to everybody in here, and I always say this, but I always mean it. If you ever need me, my number, my email, it hasn't changed and it won't. God bless you guys and God keep you. Go Giants. That's why I kept talking, because I was hoping that I would run out of time and they would have to go somewhere else.
Hello.
Say hello.
Hello.
You gonna answer the question?
Yes.
Say what y'all want.
I want some what?
You want to say hello? Nah, you just shy one.
Hello.
You want to go back to mommy?
Say.
Back to mommy. Y'all better hurry up, man. My wife gave him cookies before, and they're probably starting to kick
in. Justin, not many players after they leave go to get their NBA. especially in a rinky-dink school like that, what do you, you could have probably gone in and done a lot of things without that. What do you hope to do with that?
I think for me personally, I knew I wanted to, in everything I do, I want to be prepared. I want to be really prepared. And, a lot of things that I've come in contact since being in New York, in the finance space, I guess, points me to that direction of getting my MBA. And if I'm going to get it, I'm going to go. And try to do it at the best university that there is. And I don't know if you check, but Wharton is number one. So that's why. That almost gives me another chance to take a shot at Boston College, Mr. Mayor, but I ain't going to do it. I'm a leader. I'm not going to do it. I might.
Justin, you just, at the end of your speech there, you gave kind of a very captain-like address to the future players of this team. Was that important to you to sort of give them a message going forward, and why was it important?
You should hear what I tell them in person. I think it, Strahan told me something when he was getting ready to depart, and he said, the only reason why I feel confident leaving is because I know I'm leaving in good hands. I want to have the same sentiment going forward, and I think you do. I think Jason Pierre-Paul is going to shock a lot of people today, and that's not because of anything that you've seen, but just from the conversations I've had with him. And I'm challenging him, and he's not the only one. I'm challenging Vic. I'm challenging these guys that I know have that ability to step up and kind of be the missing piece that maybe the Giants are missing. You the one gave him the cookie.
You've been passionate about your Rush for Literacy program. You could have picked so many different types of charities, but you chose education. You chose literacy. Why?
You want the short answer or the long one? Medium. The United States is 26th in education. Me and my wife are very passionate about kids and education, and we knew that that was something that we could not only get behind and you know, write a check to, but you know, go visit schools and have conversations with parents and teachers about, you know, what's the missing link? How can we make this? Okay, you win. How can we make this? How can we make it better? You just want to say hello?
Hello.
All right, after hello, you got to go sit with mommy.
Hello.
Bye-bye.
Hey, Baba, can you say hello?
Yep, it's about that time. Yeah, so, you know, we knew education was super important to us. Unlike going to Boston College, we went to Notre Dame. So we actually got one, and we've seen the benefits of it. So glad I'm going to get the last say tonight. Mr. Mayor is not speaking out of me, is he? Okay, good.
What is your, if you have one single favorite memory of this team, whether it be a play, whether it be a player, whether it be a moment, what is it?
I think a lot of times when people ask that type of question, you know, the recipient of the question literally tries to point out one play or one moment, and it's impossible. I mean, it really is. I could sit here and name 60 plays or 60 moments that have the probably equal amount of influence on me as a person. So I won't even try to name one. But I think I'll answer your question by saying the year that we won Super Bowl 46 will be as memorable as anything ever, just because of personal up and downs, team up and downs. I lost a grandfather and three uncles in that season and was battling with, you know, injuries throughout the year. And somehow or another, God smiled on us that we all righted the ship at the right time and won another, you know, improbable Super Bowl. So that season, you know, I sit awake at night a lot thinking about that season and remembering small pockets of moments that other people might not remember, but that infected us for the good that year. So I hope that justifies a correct answer to your question.
You got an opportunity to go elsewhere. A little taste of, you know, another organization. For you, in retrospect, what was it here that was sort of special to you?
Comparing, you know, being out of here and coming back, that's the...
In general, that's this thing. You have a perspective of what maybe it's like in other places.
Well, I mean, I think while I always remember the Giants as far as special is because, it's really not another place that gets the combination of being in New York City, having the fan base that we have, getting the opportunity to work with the football minds that I got the opportunity to work with from top to bottom, and just how they do it. Yeah, it's a classy organization, and that classy gets thrown around a little bit too much, but it's a classy organization. They do it right from top to bottom, man, and I can't be more proud or more excited about representing an organization like that. And, you know, my time in Oakland was great as well. But it's nothing like home. You can't compare it. Like, I mean, I love New York City. I love New Jersey. I love the surrounding areas. But there's no place like Kelton, Alabama. That will always be home. And in my football sense, this will always be home. Yeah.
Just will be a test of your sense of humor going to Philadelphia and all those green jerseys around.
Well, you got to understand something, that I married my wife 8 years ago. We dated 5 years before that, so it's been about 13, 14 years. Her mother's father started the, am I saying this right? By saying that they, she started the, he started the Eagles Booster Club. So if you can imagine, I've had a lot of practice. I've had about 14 years of practicing. And to my credit, look, the last 8 years, there haven't been too many Eagles jerseys been floating around that house. So you can thank me for that, Mr. Mayor. We got a few more Giants fans down that way. But, yeah, it's going to be interesting. But for me, that they don't want to get into that conversation with me for two reasons. And I'm going to use two just to, as a starting point, because obviously there's a lot more than two. But, you know, I don't wear them. But, I mean, you get the gist. It's something that they don't have. So, I mean, if you want to get in the conversation about Giants versus Eagles or, you know, Cowboys or Redskins for that matter either, I mean, I think I can win that argument.
Do you like the idea that you're transitioning as another group is starting? And did they ask you to take 5 minutes today to talk to them as a group?
You know, I think Coach McAdoo is very respectful for my time at this moment. He's hinted to being a little involved going forward when the whole group is here. And I, you know, it's ironic that I know a few of the young guys that came in. So I've already had a few run-ins and conversations with them. But yeah, I mean, like I said, obviously school will take up a few moments of my time. And a few is an understatement, but I'm around, and you know, I mean it when I say it. If they need me in any capacity, I'm pretty much, you know, willing to help out.
What was your conversation with Eli Apple like?
I'll tell you one, skip it, and I'll leave it at that. I told him to focus on football. That's very generic about the conversation, but just to focus on football. You know, being in New York can be overwhelming, especially for a guy that, you know, is named Eli, for one. But, you know, just to focus on his craft, he'll be just fine. And this place embraces a winner, so go win.
If these rookies are sitting around tonight talking to each other and one says to the other, what do you think Justin Tuck's legacy will be, what would your answer be?
That's not for me to answer. I know what I want it to be, and I mentioned it. You know, the only legacy I care about is, you know, people years from now saying he did it the right way. You know, I've never really cared about stats or anything of that nature. You know, I think the legacy of a lot of the guys around here is pretty, you know, cemented in the fact that, you know, we won two Super Bowls, and that's the first thing that people are going to say. But we got some great guys in that locker room, on and off the football field, and you know, that's the only thing I can ask for. It's more important for me to see a kid smiling because he got an A on his report card than it is for me to, you know, to do anything other stuff. So I hope that's something that they'll say.
Justin, you mentioned that 2011 season as being very special. Considering what you went through injury-wise, being a captain of the team, did you maybe need a little bit more lift from your teammates than at other times in your career later on?
And I'm super proud of what my teammates gave me while I was here. And, you know, for me to be the captain of this football team was pretty easy, to be honest with you. You know, we really didn't have guys that required me getting phone calls at, you know, 12 and 2 o'clock in the morning, anything like that. We had some clowns, but every football team does, and I think that added to the character of the guys in that locker room. I think what I needed was what I got, and that was a real heart-to-heart with Coach Coughlin about midway through the season to stop feeling sorry for yourself because of some heartache that had happened. I needed that tough love, and it helped. And I think that helped me elevate my play. I think that's what the team needed. They needed me to elevate my play, not the other way around.
Anything else? Peter John Baptiste just texted me saying one or two more questions, please.
Sure, one or two more.
Just checked in for clear.
Justin, before the Giants play the Cowboys twice this year, can I call you up and you can tell me you hate them?
Well, you can run that story for years and years to come.
They will.
Yeah, that won't change. That will not change. That's a good one. I like that one. What do you got, Hanley? One more?
I think we're good. I
thought you were going to announce Kelly and Justin.
What's that?
I thought you were going to announce Kelly and Justin.
Oh, no. No. I'm going to leave that alone.
All right.
Thank you guys.